everyone, and thank you so much for joining us again this month on the Remember to Breathe podcast. And before we begin today's episode, I'd like you just, if you can, stop what you're doing for a moment. And we're going to take a few moments to do a slightly longer meditation. So if you can, just stop what you're doing and just sit down for a moment. If you're driving, just carry on with that, please, safely. But if you can, please just stop what you're doing for one moment. Just find some stillness in your day and just close down your eyes. And just pause for a moment. And together now, I want us to take a big, deep breath in through the nose, deep into the belly, and then just let it out with a sigh. Just let everything go with that exhale. And relax. And now I just want you to bring your awareness to your feet touching the ground. Just become aware of your feet and the ground. Not judging it, just observing. Then become aware of the point, the exact point, the surface where your feet are touching the ground. Become aware of the sensations with no judgment. And just observe as you ground into your body. And then just become aware of your breath. Feel your body naturally rise and fall as you breathe, not trying to change or alter it. Just observe. Now we're going to bring our awareness further out and become aware of the space around your body. And bring your awareness to your skin. Perhaps you can feel a cool breeze on your skin. Perhaps you can feel warmth or sweat or cool. Whatever it is, again, don't judge it. Just become aware of the moment where your body finishes and the space around you begins. Then again, I want you to bring your awareness further out. And in your mind's eye now, begin to visualize and feel the room around you. The space, the environment, the building. And slowly now together, we're going to bring our awareness further and further out. Visualize in your mind's eye and your awareness the whole building perhaps you're in. Bring your awareness further out to the town you're living in. Picture a bird's eye view in your mind's eye. Just observe what comes up with no judgment. And again, zoom further out to the landscape, the land around you. Allow your perspective to get larger and larger. Again, zooming out to perhaps the whole country you live in. Again, further out, as you begin to see the whole surface of the world. Keep on zooming further out as you see the whole world floating in space. So vast, just floating in space. See the earth as a ball and now allow it to get smaller and smaller and smaller until finally it turns into nothing. Allow yourself to stay in the void for a moment, into the nothingness, the unknown. Together now, we're going to take one last big inhale through the nose and let it out with a sigh. And when you do this, I want you to release all the things that you've been stuck on recently, all the obstacles you feel like you can't get past. Together now. Let it go with your exhale. And then when you're ready, open your eyes. Thank you for taking that few moments just to enjoy zooming out from life. Because when we have obstacles, when we have stuff and things come up, it can sometimes feel like we can't see past them. We feel like we just can't see the bigger picture. And this stress can feel so overwhelming. And just to remind ourselves that you are one person among billions on the planet, on a ball floating in space in a vast universe, it can sometimes allow us just to realize that everything will pass by, that whatever is seeming so large and great in your life at the moment isn't that big, and that you can give yourself permission to let go of control and surrender because it will pass by. So thank you for joining me on that. And bearing that in mind, this month we're going to be talking about how to be open to change, how to shift your perspective, how to let go of certainty and limiting beliefs and really align with your potential. And we decided on this topic this month because we didn't have a workshop this month. We both took a bit of pause from normal life. Angelo went traveling. I just took some time off. And it's through these changes, through perhaps travel or pauses or having different experiences, that we really can open our mind up. We really can see different perspectives and learn from this. So taking our normal let go, align, create formula, we're going to be letting go of certainty. We're going to be aligning with our potential, and then again, as always, to create our reality. So to begin with that, we're going to discuss the topics of limiting beliefs. And Angelo, I'm going to pass that to you because you have a far better definition than I do of a limiting belief.
For me, limiting beliefs are conclusions we have come to about ourselves based on our experiences or whatever we have heard from society or whatever it be that hold us back from our potential. So that was my kind of definition of a limiting belief, because beliefs in themselves are good because that's what gives us purpose, gives us values, like gives us an identity or like an authenticity, because we'd always pursue some sort of purpose, right? And that has to come from a belief or a truth that we see in the world. So beliefs in themselves are good, but then the beliefs that kind of hold you back from accomplishing that potential are the limiting beliefs that we have to kind of look to let go of. So for me, that was the idea of limiting beliefs and what I understood when you mentioned the word limiting beliefs.
That's a really nice explanation there. And yeah, it's kind of like addressing perhaps what's been put on us or certain limitations or beliefs or truths that no longer serve us. You know, we all do it. We all come to this, I'm not that type of person. Yeah. I can't do that because, and we are doing it, we're putting these limitations on ourselves without even realizing. And they're often passed down to us. Exactly. You know, oh, you're not that type of person, or if I was that type of person, I'd be able to do that. And we're so convinced by them. We're like so convinced by them. I often found the limiting beliefs that I had to get past were perhaps been put on me by family or society. And again, there's no blame in this. This isn't, it's just something that you bring awareness into it, and then suddenly, like, maybe I don't want to be that person. Maybe I do want to be the type of person that can go out and do something. I think one of the biggest limiting beliefs that's just come to mind for me was when I shaved my head when I was 30. I always said in my 20s, like, oh, I'm not the type of person who can shave their head because I don't have a girly enough face. And that there is a perfect example of a limiting belief. Like, I don't have the right type of face to shave my head. And then when I hit 30, I thought, fuck it, I'll do it now or I'll never do it. Like, and that turned to be a huge transformational time for me that actually I fell in love with my femininity and myself so much more when I had a shaved head. So for such a long time, it was this conditioning, I'm not that type of girl. I'm not a girly girl. I can't do those things. And same, I remember a few years ago, I went to get my nails done for the first time because I was always like, I'm not that type of girl. Yeah. I realized I didn't really like it, but I did it and then realized that. I think that's the really important thing. I gave myself a choice instead of being, I'm not that type of person, or I can't do that because, it's addressing those.
Yeah. And I think it's important to mention also that most of the beliefs are so ingrained as truths that we sometimes don't even know that they are the beliefs. Like, even the beliefs you mention, like, seem so true, right? Like, that's reality. But then it's that questioning of it and giving yourself, like, the permission to explore it and be like, okay, even if I believe I don't like it, if I haven't tried it, let's try it and, like, confirm that I don't like it. Because, like, a lot of times you go through life and then the thing you will regret in life is the things you didn't try, all the what ifs. And, like, at that point, you're just like, no, I, like, you know, you have missed so much of life and you couldn't try them. You'd rather have tried it and know that you didn't like it and be certain about that rather than, like, going through life, not trying it, just believing that you never liked it. And it's interesting that you mentioned, like, a catalyst for you that kind of helped make you start questioning those certainties in life. For me, it was ironically listening to a podcast episode that I listened to, similar to this. And there was this, it was the Yes Theory podcast, and they brought on this guest called Cliff Weitzman. I hope I got his name correct. And he shared about his experience through childhood with education. And at a young age, he was at a young age, he was told that he has dyslexia. And that's why he, like, struggled to read and write and stuff like that. Then later on, he immigrated, when he was young, he immigrated to America. And then he shared about how not only having dyslexia in the education system, but they're moving to a completely new country and having to learn the language. So he was, like, in a really tough spot, but getting that kind of diagnosis of dyslexia, he knew his challenges and his strengths. So he would realize that, okay, reading and writing is tough for him. So what his father would do for him is, in the nights, usually in school you get a novel to read for the year and then they quiz you on it and question you. So his father would read chapters from the book to him, and the nights the father wasn't at home or couldn't read it, he'd record it and leave it for him. So he'd listen to it before going to sleep. And then in school, when they ask him to read, like, each student has to usually read a chapter or whatever it is, he wouldn't be able to read because he still didn't know the language well enough, but he had memorized it through listening to his father's recordings that he acted as if he was reading, but he was actually just, like, through memory telling the story. And, like, knowing that, knowing his strength, like, he used, found a tool to work around it. And then when he went to high school, it was, he approached a lecturer and he mentioned to him his situation and then asked him if he'd wait an hour before or after classes to explain to him and help him with the subject. And he was fortunate enough that the lecturer actually went out of the way to help him like that. But then when he went to uni, he realized he can't do that. Not all the lecturers will do that. There are so many subjects. So he learned coding and created an app where he can, like, scan all his textbooks, put them into the app, and the app reads it to him, like what his father did. And now that app, like, is, you can get it on the App Store, it's called Speechify. And, like, so many, he's put it out because he's like, if this helped me, and I have dyslexia, there are so many others with it, let me help them. And he put it out for free where you can download it and actually do it. And I use it to this day. And then the app, you can also now add a extension where you can even make it read websites. So if there are articles and stuff like that, you can read them, which was an amazing story and so motivational for me. But the main part that resonated was that experience he had with his dad, where the dad would read to him, because when he was mentioning it, I was like, oh, that feels, like, so familiar, because I remember the way, like, I studied, like, there were certain subjects I studied by myself and certain subjects my mom taught me. And in school, I was at the two extremes. Either I did really well in a subject or I was very close to failing. And, like, when he mentioned that, I was like, oh, how can that be? That, because none of the subjects are interest-based in school. It's more of, like, the way you're taught it, right? The learning mechanism, because they're all just theory-based, even if it's a practical subject, especially in Sri Lanka. So I was then, that made me question, like, oh, wait, how were they so opposite, like polar opposite? And then I came to the realization that all the subjects I did well what my mother sat and taught me, because she would read the textbook to me and like explain it to her like capabilities. And like those are the subjects I did really well. But the subjects I had to sit and teach myself or read through the textbook are the ones I did really bad. And like half an hour, like if my mom walks into the room half an hour later, like while I'm studying, I've fallen asleep. Because it would drain me so much and I would never retain anything. But then when my mother just read it to me, and she'd ask me questions in the middle, because it's like, are you being lazy and just getting me to read this and waste my time? And like, you're just sitting there waiting. But I would actually answer, because I would pay attention and understand it. So then I was like, oh, wait, do I have like dyslexia? Is this why I struggled in school? And like, I was so good with the subjects my mom taught me, and like, I was so bad in the ones that I had to teach myself. And more than it being even the diagnosis, I was like, oh, so wait, I have come to this conclusion that I hate learning because I hated reading because I struggled with it. And then I was like, okay, why not experiment with a different method of trying to like absorb information? And I knew I liked watching videos and learning, but it wasn't really learning, because at that time it was mostly entertainment. Even images were entertainment. You didn't get stuff like Audible and Speechify and stuff. So the only source of information were books, right? So then I was like, okay, I had never completed a book in my life. Whenever I tried to read a book, I'm like so drained of energy. I'm like, how the fuck do people enjoy this? Like people say, I love reading, I've read this many books. I'm like, I can't get through the first page without feeling so tired, and like I haven't retained anything. So I'm like, how do you enjoy this? And then I listened to my first audiobook and I loved it. Like hearing someone else's perspective said in their voice, I was just like, oh wait, I actually enjoy learning. It was just the method I tried wasn't beneficial to the way I'm wired or like what suits me. And like that was kind of the catalyst for me that got me to start questioning. I was like, oh, if I have come to this conclusion that I hated learning when it was just the method I tried didn't work for me, how many other conclusions have I come to along my life that like are stopping me or holding me back from actually doing stuff that will help me grow? So, and that is what kind of started it for me. And that was kind of interesting. I was thinking on where it like kind of started from, and that was the main point that I remember from childhood.
That's really lovely you sharing that. And it's amazing how you can have that like limiting belief of, I don't like learning, or I hate learning, or I'm not good at school. And I think a lot of people can resonate with that. And then that story you told about this guy who got curious around it, no? And it's like, okay, let's get more curious. And it's the curiosity, instead of being like, I hate learning, full stop.
Exactly.
I'm done, I'm not good at school, I don't like these things. And also the way you describe it, like our generation as well, we're very much taught one way. I think nowadays, not as much as it should be, there are alternative ways of learning and teaching and understanding, and we kind of get that now. But instead of the very kind of basic read, write, and learn. Yeah. And I have something very similar, whereas growing up, I didn't like reading. I was always told I never liked school. I was told I was never liked school, and I always thought I never liked school. And I didn't like reading. My mum and my sister were very good readers, and they read all the time. So I think I just put a comparison on myself. I wasn't good at reading in comparison to my mum and sister, because they read a lot. And it wasn't until the beginning of my 30s that I suddenly realized, like, why don't I like reading? Because I don't feel like I'm good at reading. Well, I just need to practice. If I haven't read a book in 10 years and I pick up a book, it's going to feel awkward, right?
Yeah.
People who like reading read all the time, because again, it's something you practice. And it was so hard at first picking up a book, because my attention span will go. I do struggle a little bit with reading. Like I even started like reading out loud, like, and then getting used to it. And now I can sit and read a book happily, but I had to retrain myself. Yeah. Because that limiting belief of like, I'm not good at reading was for such a long time that I was like, no, I want to reframe this, because I want to enjoy books. I want to try that.
Yeah.
I want to try reading. And it's just the comparison that was holding me back.
And I think also it's like, to add to that, like what you mentioned, is that struggle of getting over the limiting belief is the hardest part, because it's over so many years and it's ingrained that like that is, it's not just a belief, it's like reality. Like you are this, like you can't do this, like the opposite of it. And to like kind of in a sense manipulate your mind and convince yourself that no, like let's try it long enough to see whether it is something I like. I feel like that's the hardest struggle, like first realizing it, which is the important part, and then the effort put in to kind of flip that over. So even for me, that first audiobook took like 2 years. It honestly took like, because I, to find the time to do it, because it's a completely new thing as well, right? I hated reading. I never did it. So then it's like, okay, where do I find the time? Because this is still not something I enjoy. I'm just curious about it. So like I tried while I'm driving, but then because I'm someone, for me, it's not just like, oh, listening in the background. I have to pay attention because I want to absorb it. It's like reading a book. I can't be doing something else. And like, you know, people don't do something else while reading. It's like you sit and read or you do something else. So for me, that's the listening to an audiobook. So like I'm driving and then halfway through, I'll be like, wait, I was like, considering I had to like rewind. So I was like, okay, this is clearly not the time to do it. So then I started doing my kind of morning routine thing. And I was like, okay, why not weekends incorporate the reading thing for 10 minutes. And like that became that habit of, oh, it won't take me 2 years now. It takes me like a month or two. Because I just do 10 minutes on the weekends. And like just that practice of, I'm not reading a lot, but much more than I used to. And that's something I enjoy now. Because it gives me an insight to different people's perspectives, right? And like different ways of thinking of stuff. Because I can't think of a new way of thinking just the way, with the way I think, right? With my beliefs. I need to see or hear another person's way of doing things to be like, oh, let me try that. Let me try and reframe my mind to have that mindset. And I feel like that's a very hard part to get to. But then limiting beliefs, I feel like a lot of people have them, which is natural. But like certain systems, because for me even, the education system and like religion and stuff, I wouldn't say it's a bad thing because it does help most people. Like the education system like actually helps certain people to learn and move forward in life. It's not bad for everyone. But then it's that, how do the other kind of, let's say 50% kind of learn? So like having the conversation of both sides of it. Like for the people who it doesn't help or give hope or like actually help them grow, what are the alternatives? And I feel like that's another thing that needs to be spoken about or like experimented with and founded. And I feel like it's moving towards that. Because for me to even come across a podcast that kind of helped me resonate with that human experience and then try out, have the access to try out new methods was like, I mean, I'm fortunate to be able to do that and to have that access, right?
Yeah, I think it's with the schooling system, it's like an old-fashioned layout, how it works, and it's kind of like a one-size-fits-all approach. Mm. You learn this way and that's it. Like, yeah. Assuming that every single child, every single person is going to learn the same way. And with the rise of technology, if you think about it that way, and the visual learning and audible learning and all these different types of learning, everyone feels a lot more accessible.
Exactly.
You know, all these different ways of learning. It isn't just, it's no longer kind of education for one type. Mm. You know, it's kind of like everyone can learn in all different ways. You can write, you can read, you can see, you can listen, and that's the beauty of it. And I want to go back onto the thing you said about the effort it takes to change something, because by the time we're 30 years old, we're like living in 95% of our unconscious mind, our subconscious mind. And if you think of our mind as kind of like a software system, it's a program. Mm. And you know, you do something over and over and over again, your subconscious or unconscious mind stores it as a habit, because that's the easiest thing to do. It's recognize that you're doing something over and over again. So let's store that, because that takes up less energy. So, you know, from the moment you wake up, your alarm goes off, you walk downstairs, you make your coffee, you have your breakfast, you prepare your lunch, you go to work, like you're not that present. You're probably waking up worried about all the things you need to do and all these actions. It's like that moment when you're driving and you're like, fuck, I'm driving. I forgot. And then you're like suddenly back in and you went somewhere. Yeah. Like you're unconsciously just doing it. And you're just suddenly remember like, oh, I'm making my tea. And it's, you're so many parts of a day, we're not actually present. Because it's just trying to keep us in the easiest way of doing things. But so when we want to make a change, a lot of resistance comes up. Mm. A lot of energy, it seems, to make a change, because also, our subconscious mind is wanting to keep us safe.
Yeah.
So if you suddenly go, okay, who am I? and you start to look at these limitations, and it's really fun to kind of hear the things you say about yourself. That's the easiest way to do it. Like, someone says to you, and like, oh, you know, so it's going to be a girly example because I'm a girl. Oh, do you want to go shopping? I want to go and buy a new dress. I don't wear dresses. I'm not that type of girl. Catch that. Become curious. Why? Okay, you get, and you know, try it out. Yeah. Try something different, and it is going to be hard. It's going to be hard to, you know, get away from that program, that pattern, but allow the curiosity, and I think the power of play comes in with curiosity to kind of like, oh, I'm going to question that. Oh, you're not that type of person. You can't do that. And, you know, it makes me, you hear it so many times, and it makes me think of like parents saying to their kids, and, you know, we don't realize we're saying it, and it's just something repeated. But it's really important to know that your mind is wanting to keep you safe most of the time. And when you bring in these big questions like, who am I? A big question. Why do I do things? It's easier just to be like, I don't want to answer that. I'll just stick to with what I know rather than the unknown.
And I think it's so interesting that you mentioned all of those, like the worry and the fear. So one of the beliefs that I have come out to know, which is like, I consider the three C's, like the three truths of life. One is the certainty, which is the only certainty in life is death. Then second is the constant, and the only constant in life is change. And the control is the only thing we can control in life is our choices and decisions. So like certainty in this aspect is like ideal, because for me, the way I think of it, any fear that comes up, like if you go like deeper and deeper, it ends with the fear of death. Like that is what any fear kind of stems from. It's like danger or death, right? The extreme of danger is death. So just knowing that the only certainty in life is death is like the only thing that you're certain of to happen in your life, you're living in fear of that. And then like, how can anything else be, like how can you approach it, right? And even if you think of something that's rare to happen, like if you just think of a meteorite crashing and hitting you, it's like, it's very rare, but the fact that there's a possibility in it means that it can still happen. It's not certain. Nothing else apart from death is certain. So it's like, if then that has a probability, then you achieving something like that you would think is extreme or very rare, or like you're not the person to do that or achieve that, there's still a probability of it. So that means there is a chance that it can happen. So why not try it? Why not pursue it? So for me, that truth of like the only certainty being death, like, I know it's a bit of a dark kind of topic, but it brings out that positivity of, like, everything else is possible. So why not, like, put an effort to try it even? And if I have convinced myself that I can't do it even, it's possible still. Why not try it? And just see if I actually like it or not. And I feel like that truth has really, like, changed a lot of things, because now it has come to the point of, I'm certain I'm going to die. So, like, there is, there like, still the fear comes up, but there are moments I'm like, oh, like, don't fear that, don't fear death, because it is guaranteed to come. Like, explore all the probabilities that you can or you feel like you'll enjoy, or you want to try, or you want to explore, or you want to accomplish. Might sometimes seem like extreme, because even for me now, everything I do, I remember even when I made a cup of tea in candy and added sugar, you were so surprised. You were like, oh my God, you have a vice, like you actually enjoy life. And like, I do stuff that seems extreme, but for me it's like, if I want to accomplish extraordinary things, I want to pursue that path and do those what seem extreme. But I'm not torturing myself by doing it, because I enjoy it, because I see that kind of vision of, I know what I'm trying to work towards. So that comes from that notion of the only certainty is death, because anything is possible. So like, why not push myself to try it? But not to the point where I'm like, you know, sacrificing my own health or anything like that. It's just to the level where I'm enjoying and like finding ways of like seeing the joy in those. Like, they might seem like, you know, not giving into craving and stuff like that, but then when I see the outcome of how much energy I have and like how I don't feel tired throughout the day and all, I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, I have more energy throughout the day to do stuff I enjoy.
Yeah.
So like, that craving would have might have made me tired and not made me want to do a certain activity that I might have enjoyed. So like, reframing stuff like that to find the joy in the small things.
Yeah, I think that's so nice what you just shared, because the real thing that like holds us all back is that concept of failure, no? Like what you say about the only certainty is death, and you're like realizing that the fear that comes up, and it is true, it's the ego, it's the default mode network in your brain, the thing that wants to keep you safe the whole time. And it's almost like, it feels like that idea of ambition, like how ambitious are you allowed yourself to be? Because it's almost, so many times we get to the point where it's like, oh, I'm not going to bother because I don't want to be seen as a fool or a failure. So why even try? And it's courageously stepping through those phases of life, being like, you know what, if I mess this up, I tried. And like you said at the beginning, and that's something that I hold so close to my own heart, is that I'd rather live a life knowing, oh, I shouldn't have done that, rather than ifs. Or I wish I'd done that. I wish I did this. Because those things will haunt you for the rest of your life. And it's realizing that fear comes up. And instead of seeing it as like, oh, I'm scared, it's like, oh, fear has come up. I've hit a growth edge. Or like uncertainty has come up. I've hit a growth edge. Let's get curious around this. Let's nurture myself through it. Because even like the only certainty is death, like when we're overwhelmed and anxious or something's going wrong, it can feel like someone's about to die. Like that's how overconsumed we can be with our emotions. And it's actually a really good thing to come back in, ground yourself in your body and be like, okay, is anyone gonna die? No, okay, that's fine. It's whatever's feeling big, allow it to feel big, but also acknowledge that I can break this down into smaller steps, or I can release it and let it go, whatever you need to make something achievable. But it really is that allowing yourself to cross through those different fears. Be bold, be courageous, and be like, okay, you know what? The field of potential and possibility is huge. If I can think it, I can do it. And then I have to commit to it and actually have an outcome. But it really is, it's just potential.
Yeah. And something interesting you said about how, to, like, you know, the potential and creating it. There's this UFC fighter called Adesanya, and he says in one of his interviews how, like, even if you think of this mic, it didn't exist at a point. Someone thought it up in their head and then created it. Like the potential of, if we just even look around us at the things around us and, like, we take it for granted because it's like everyday things that we use, but to think like, oh, someone actually, it didn't exist. They had never seen this thing in their life. They thought about, oh, what if I can do something like this and this might help people, and then created it. And like that potential is in all of us. Like if we can, like you mentioned, think of something, we can create it, right? And like, yes, sometimes technology is behind and like, you know, things need to catch up, but we live in a world now that like so many things are possible. Like you have technologies that like blow our mind. Like we are like, how do these things work? And now with stuff like AI and now coming up, it's just like every day we are like surprised by its potential. And like to think AI came from people's minds. Like we kind of created AI. That's our potential. If we are surprised with like, you know, technology's potential, all that technology came from us. From a human being's imagination. And like, for me, that's that potential of like, okay, like, if I think like that and pursue that and like work towards something, maybe, obviously I can't like invent everything or like, you know, solve all the problems in the world. But if I can focus my energy towards one thing and work towards that and like help, even like if it's one person, that'll be so much like, such a good thing that I did with my life, right? And like, you can kind of die in peace, like knowing that you helped someone in your life. And I think going into potential now, so with that example even that I mentioned about the studying thing, that was just the catalyst. And then like the potential that came from that questioning of what other beliefs have I kind of told myself I can't do or I don't like, so I haven't explored it. That was like the learning. Then when it went into, like say, looking after my health or like well-being, for me, a lot of people used to say, oh, gym, I love going to gym. It like gives me so much joy. I didn't understand that because for me, it was kind of monotonous and like you're in a closed up building with like machinery. It was too like artificial in that sense. And like, I used to go to the gym and it helped me a lot. It's not that it didn't help me, it didn't bring joy in doing the activity. It wasn't like, I was like, oh yes, I get to go to the gym now. But then I was like, okay, fine. That's not the only way to like, you know, be fit or like look after my fitness. And I realized, like, I look back to my childhood and stuff I enjoyed. And I remembered as a kid, I'd always even, like, take the mattress off my bed off. And, like, tiny kid, I'm just, like, pulling it off, put it on the floor. My mother used to hate when I did it. But she used to see how much I enjoyed, like, playing with that. And I'd do somersaults, like, handstands, headstands. Like, and I used to really love, like, acrobatic stuff. It used to really fascinate me. Then I was like, oh, okay, like, the closest to that is something like yoga, and not the, like, the slow stretchy yoga, but the stuff where you do arm balancers, like headstands, handstands, those, like the kind of extreme version of that. And I was like, okay, like, let me go for a few classes and try it out and see it. And I loved it after I went in, because you're kind of with nature, like, you're not, it is a room, but, like, windows open, like, it's not that AC machinery all around, like, it felt natural to me. I liked the setting. And then, like, the things I could do with, because I was anyway not very strong, and for me to gain weight and gain muscle was a very hard thing. But I used to love the idea of, like, balancing and, like, flexibility and stuff. So this was ideal. And, like, then that became my workout thing, and now I go, like, thrice a week for yoga. But then in my head, I had that belief of, like, oh, yoga is not for guys. Like, this is for girls. Like, I should be going to the gym. If I want to be fit, that is where I'm supposed to go. But then it was like, I questioned myself, like, why? You enjoy that. And, like, this is just said that you're supposed to do it. And, like, I came across guys who teach it. And, like, the first person I went to was a guy who taught me yoga. And, like, it came down from, like, men doing it. And I was like, oh, so then, like, why not explore that? Then when it came to stuff like cardio, it was, I hate running, and I'm even on a treadmill, because, like, my knees feel like a load of pressure. But then I again went back to my childhood, and I remember in our house, like, we have a garden around my house. I used to just, like, from morning till night, go in circles, like, on my bike. I, like, go as fast as I can, and, like, sometimes my brother joins me, but then he gets tired of it and he goes in. But then, like, I was just so fascinated by it. And I was like, wait, why not try that? And then COVID hit, couldn't drive anywhere. I was like, okay, perfect time. Bought a bike and I started riding on the road. And, like, it was torture, because I hadn't done it before. My legs were burning, but I enjoyed it so much. Like, it brought that joy in doing the activity. And I was like, oh, okay, like, why not do this and make this a habit? So a lot of stuff like that changed, and, like, for the better. They weren't limiting beliefs. They became beliefs that, like, actually are helping me grow or pushing me forward.
I love that, because it's, again, instead of being like, I don't like the gym, full stop, I'm done. It's like, yeah, the curiosity. Okay, I still want to exercise. What do I like? And I also love, because I'm the polar opposite, I love the gym. Because for me, it's like a playground of, like, fun stuff. And I go with my partner and we lift weights and we do all this kind of stuff. And me, I'm in the gym. I'm like, this is the coolest place ever. And I always love the gym. But, for example, my yoga and my movement practice, I do that by myself.
Yeah.
Because it's a very, for me, it's a completely personal experience. I don't watch anything. I just have my very own movement, meditation thing. I'm on the roof. If anyone saw me, I probably look weird. But for me, that's my very personal thing. And I've also questioned, like, why don't I go to yoga classes? Why don't I do that? And I'm like, is it because I'm limiting myself? And I'm like, no, I love where I do it. I like going to the gym.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's that. And I've also, I think you referring back to childhood, that's always the best place to start when you've addressed the limiting belief. Like, I'm not this type of person because who am I? And then you're like, want to inquire, okay, what did I enjoy doing as a child? Mm. And we can therapeutically look back at our childhood, and a lot of healing can be done there for all aspects of life. But it's okay, how did I play? What did I do? And I even think about now, like, my old jobs, I was always like, I was a sculptor, we mixed cement, we lifted things, like, I was always found play in kind of that heavy moving stuff around. Like, I always love that. And so, like, seeing that in the gym, I get that same feeling. Like, I just, it's funny how two people can be two opposite, and it's absolutely fine. It's instead of being told you are this type of person, maybe gender based on your gender or where you grow up or your family or society, it's like being, I don't feel like I'm that type of person. That doesn't feel good in my body. All my mates go to the gym, but I don't want to. Okay, then don't. Where do you want to go? Go find those people, because you owe it to yourself. And like we spoke before, in other episodes, it's like being true to your authenticity.
Exactly.
What feels authentic to you? And it takes being bold, being courageous, going to classes where no one else is and you feeling awkward and you learning new things. And I heard something the other day that was actually really beautiful. And it was like, if you do something in this lifetime, and it comes really naturally to you, even if it's new, like you come at something, it's really natural, it's because in another lifetime, you're an expert at it. And I really like that idea, whether you think of reincarnation or not, but I really like the idea of that when something comes to you naturally and you get that feeling, it's like, I've done this before.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe as a different person or as just as an energetic, like this is embodied within me. I know it already. When you catch on to something really fast, it's kind of like, you as a person, it's like, this is what you're meant to be doing. Look, your body, something in you knows how to do it. And I really liked that. I kind of, the idea of like movement practices and all kind of like, I have what I would guess I'd describe as kind of like a slightly more energetic breath work, almost Kundalini kind of practice at the moment. But I've never gone to a class.
Yeah.
But I have something in my body that knows what I'm doing. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go with it. I'm going to let my intuition go with it. And it's really, really empowering. But I definitely think it's that what feels right in my body and how can I express that? And, you know, through play as a child, we're learning to express ourselves.
Exactly.
And it's such a beautiful thing to go back onto.
Yeah, I think two things you mentioned are very interesting. They're like going back to the childhood thing. Because as a child, you have no limiting beliefs. You're just exploring. And like, you know what you enjoy, you know what you don't. But then through your experiences and certain like systems, you come into like the what you're supposed to, what you're not supposed to. So like it's really nice to even watch a kid like play and like just that freedom. There is no sense of judgment. Like, oh, what will they think? But they just don't care. Like you mentioned, like as a kid, how you play. And I think the second what you mentioned was how you came to work. Like doing whatever you did even through that passion. And I kind of realized like everything I do now stems from that, like that questioning all of those. Even when it comes to branding, even though it might sound like a very corporate thing, for me it's branding for creators, right? So it's that notion to want to help them figure out their potential and help them communicate that with the world. And that's what, like, when it came to the breathwork, doing the branding for you, even, like, I saw that potential and I, like, loved what you were doing with the breathwork. And I knew there was a way I can help with, like, my knowledge in branding. And then, like, I wanted to get that message out there. So, like, for me, that is what branding came to. And then the other podcast production thing I started with my business partner, Dehan, like, for us, when we had a conversation, we both realized that we weren't pursuing the careers that we studied in, because he studied to be a pilot and I studied to be an architect, whereas I was doing branding and he went into photography and videography. But then we realized everything we learned in the career we're pursuing was from podcasts and online courses. And then we were like, oh wait, like we truly believe that like podcasts were the future of accessible information. And that is why we started the podcast production thing. Because it's like, for me, it clicked to me that like, oh, I was trying to figure out what, how to help the other 50% who don't learn through the current school system. And like, for the longest time, I've been like questioning of, oh, where do I figure out a way of getting into the education system and like changing it from there? Or do I propose a new curriculum that will help like the students it doesn't help? But then coming on to the way I learned through it, I was like, oh, like podcasts and online courses, like you directly deal with the experts, right? And for me, that was like, oh, this is my into that education system and kind of changing it or revolutionizing it. And it was like such a out of the box solution, but then it made sense because it worked for me. So like, why not help creators and specialists in that field, like help them with the whole process of their podcast from like the conceptualization to shooting it, editing it and putting it out there and getting their knowledge out to other people, it'll help. And it's free of charge, which is like the best thing ever, like sharing that knowledge.
It's really wonderful when you say those things and it makes me think, so it's kind of like our potential lies through the hardships we've gone through and our failures and things that haven't gone our way. That's really if when we learn to empower those things and we learn to alchemize that energy from fear, from failure, we can turn that into our greatness.
Exactly.
You know, that really is that those markers, again, with that example what you said at the beginning, it's allowing the curiosity to come in and then realizing I can create change. Instead of, and again, it's instead of viewing things happening to me and, oh, why did this happen to me? It's so hard. How can I take this experience? Because we all learn through negative association. You think about that child, no, playing and curious and everything. It's the mother, it's the father. Don't do that. Don't touch this. Like, we learn through failure and negative association because we learn fastest that way. Something goes wrong, you learn the hard way. You know, you really, and it sticks. You know, and that's also how the universe gives us lessons. And, you know, we have a small hiccup, and then the hiccups get bigger and bigger until the complete rock bottom of your life. And then you're like, okay, I'm listening. I need to make a change. And it's really in those moments, like, really learning that. I think also, like, with me and breathwork, like, breathwork was a tool that allowed me to learn my own emotions, allowed me to let go of these limitations and all these things I'd put on myself and really come back to learn who I am and get to know myself. And it was through that learning that I wanted to share it with others.
Exactly.
You know, it was through the realization of, like, oh my gosh, I finally feel like I'm in my body and I'm getting to know myself. I want others to feel that way. And so it really is that I'm having, like, a little realization now that, you know, that's where our potential lies, in the darkest, scariest places. And if you can have the courage to fall into those and to learn from them and to look at yourself and accept that that's really where you'll, like, just blossom and bloom.
And I feel like it comes back to what we always talk about, right? Like, we were trying to figure out what is needed for someone to go through that change and wanting to change their life. And it was that difficult moment in life plus the pause where, like, you don't have any of the distractions or the disturbances to, like, distract you from the difficult moment, but you get to sit with it. And then you start questioning everything. Because you're like, how did I get here? Like, why is it so bad or, like, miserable, or why am I feeling this? Then the questions start, right? And if you have that pause to sit with yourself, you start questioning all these things. Like, why did I struggle in school and others did well? And, like, always the, even when you questioned it from, like, external sources, they'd give you the answer of the existing system, right? Like, that is all. Because it might have worked for them. And, like, for me, when as a kid, like, I was surrounded by people it worked for. And, like, it seemed like it worked. I don't know if it worked for them, but it seemed like it worked for them, whether it's the education system or, like, when it comes to religion, the answers, like, when I questioned it, the answers that they gave weren't, like, satisfying enough. Like, wasn't proof of it or didn't answer the question, and it didn't feel true to me or resonate. But then it seemed like it helped them in so many ways to believe and, like, grow and, like, move forward. But then that was always a question I had. And then when I listened to that podcast, and I was like, oh, why don't I question and try to find people? Because I kept sticking to that bubble I was in, right? So why don't I find people who have gone down my path and have had my experience, and this didn't resonate for them? And that's when I started, like, finding books and, like, podcasts and YouTube videos, like, following people talking about these experiences and their kind of struggle. And I was like, oh, I resonate. And then I got information on what I can try to find the answers for myself, rather than depending on a system that clearly didn't give me the answers. And I feel like that opened up a lot for me.
I think that's a really good thing you said there, is, like, go out and be inspired. Like, you are the sum of the five closest people you spend your time with, and you have to be a little bit, like, take a bit of responsibility and look at the five people who you're closest to in your life and be like, do I want to be like them? And it's not saying they're bad people or anything like that, but you get a choice. Who am I hanging out with? Are they a good example? You know, am I perhaps wanting to make some changes in my life, but all my friendship groups still do things that I no longer want to do? You have a choice. If, you know, we're very influenced by people around us, and if four of your friends are like, oh, come out, we're gonna go and party, and that's not what you want to do anymore, and you go out and do it anyway, like, it's not gonna, you're gonna be stuck there. You've got to make some decisions and choose what you want. You can't do one thing and another. You have to create that space, that pause, and then ask yourself, okay, what does align with me? What are my values? And then, okay, like you said, who's like that? Who's gone through the hard things? Who do I want to be? Who are those people already? And go and be inspired. Show yourself and create a different set of beliefs. You know, let go of those beliefs that have been holding you back. Allow that space to come up. And then be like, okay, I'm going to fill this with other things. And the most important thing that I always come back to, the idea of the glass of water, like, you don't put a full glass of water under a tap and expect it to fill it. Like, you have to let go and create the space before something comes in. It's not like, I'll do this when. I'll feel happy when I do this. Like, that's never going to happen, because you're allowing on the external to create your internal reality, where it's like, you have to be willing to trust. If I let go of who I am and what I know, and trust in the unknown and myself, that something great is coming because I am prioritizing my needs and my authenticity, then it will. You have to allow that space and then allow it to be filled. You can't be holding on to things that aren't good for you. You have to make that decision. And when you do, you raise your self-worth. When you're able to set those boundaries, like we've discussed in other episodes, and have your self-worth and raise that, the universe replies and it's like, I'll match you. You've stepped up. You know what you want. That's, you're showing what's authentic to you. I'm going to raise that to you. And you'll start realizing that other things come to you.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, like, when you say surrounded by the five people, it doesn't mean cut out the rest of the people, right? Like, that needs to be clear, because even for me, with my experience now, like, my cousins and, like, friends and all of them, they know that I don't enjoy those same things, but they're still an important part of my life. But it's just, when I want to do those things, I don't go to them. I'd love to do it with them, but I know they don't enjoy it. And even if they were to come just as, like, you know, because I want to go, they'll join me, they won't enjoy it, and then I won't enjoy it. So I tend to look for people even outside my circle to be like, hey, shall we do this activity? Because I feel like you like it. Or I know that you do these activities and you like it. I'm open to join with you. And that opens up so much more potential to, like, making friendships, like getting to know people like you might have not, you know, tried to get close to even. And, like, it opens up potential to even, like, whether it be work or interest or finding someone who has, like, very similar interest to you. And it's just, like, the potential is, it's so interesting, it's hard to explain. Just when you start experiencing it, you're like, oh my God, this is what I was missing out on. By, like, limiting myself to, oh, the people I'm surrounded by don't like doing it, so, like, I shouldn't be selfish and not, like, I shouldn't want to do it just because majority doesn't like it. No, like, do the things you enjoy with them. Then the things you want to enjoy, like, you enjoy doing by yourself or, like, with other people. Like you mentioned about the yoga, you enjoy doing it by yourself. Why try to find other people? Like, you can try just to see whether you like it comparatively, but then keep exploring that, right? Like, if you find joy in it. And that's the easiest thing to, like, kind of understand. If it brings you joy, continue doing it. Experiment, yes. Like, definitely try different stuff and all. But, like, that is your kind of signal that, like, that is not a limiting belief, because you're enjoying doing it. And the enjoyment shouldn't come from, hopefully it's not coming from, like, doing something that makes you escape reality, because that in itself, you're not enjoying reality, you're enjoying escaping it. And then you're like, day to day won't be enjoyable, you'll be pursuing escaping your reality. That's a dangerous kind of enjoyment in my eyes and the way I see it. But it's like, if you're present in the moment and fully aware and you're finding joy in that, that is not a limiting belief. That is something that you should pursue or keep pursuing.
Yeah, for me, it's like the difference between joy and numbing. Like, yes, you know what exactly. I mean? It's like, oh, I have so much fun doing this. And it's like, you're just numbing. You're just numbing out. You're no longer there. Because there are forms of joy where we do escape reality. You know, we transcend. We, you know, get out of the moment. We, you know, that flow state where you kind of forget you exist and you're kind of just, like, in the energy of doing. But there's definitely the numbing part of it, yeah, where you're lying to yourself. And I think the really interesting dynamic is when you said there about, like, okay, say, like, you just want to keep the peace with everyone. I'm not going to do the different thing because everyone else doesn't want to. And I'm just going to keep being nice and fit with the group. Like, what you're really saying is that my needs don't matter, subconsciously. You're not saying it out loud because you never would. And you'd be like, of course my needs matter. However, on a subconscious level, you are conditioned to believe that you can't put yourself out there. And maybe that's something from earlier in life. Maybe it's something that you're going through, but wherever it comes from, it's having that like courage to be like, my needs do matter, and actions speak louder than words. Yeah. They really do. We can say one thing, oh, we're going to do this and do that. Well, then do it, you know, and it's really knowing that what we say is the difference between what we say, what we do, and who we are. And that's a really important thing to be very kind of like, take responsibility on that. And with all this kind of journey of letting go and peeling off these layers of self, you have to be really responsible for your own behavior. Even like, you know, the sum of the five people you are, you can't throw everyone out of your life because you've made commitments.
Exactly.
You know, whether it be partners or family or jobs, you can't just throw it all in the bin because you are human and you've made commitments and you have to stick by them. You can't blame other people, but you can be like, okay, I want to, you know, get healthier and more active. Hanging out with certain people that don't do that isn't going to make you do that. It's realizing that if I bring in someone who does that, that's going to motivate me. That's going to inspire me. And I always think, I always come back to the idea of like jealousy and envy, and that we sometimes think they're like negative things, like, oh, I'm so jealous and I'm so envious. There's a really nice definition that I can't quite remember what it is. It's like envy. No, I can't remember it. But you look at those two things, it's like jealous and envious. When I get those feelings, I like use them as positive markers. It's like, oh, I'm jealous of that person. They've got something I want.
Yeah.
And get curious. What is that? Instead of being like, oh my gosh, like look at that person, look at their figure, they're so happy. I'm not that. I couldn't have any of that. And like creating this whole narrative that you're unworthy. It's like, ooh, I've got this pang of jealousy or envy. I want something of theirs. How does that then look in my life? What is that energetic showing me that I'm not serving within myself? And how can that look authentic to me? I really like that one. It's like using these little things instead of being negative to be like, oh, that person's annoyed me. Why? What boundary are they crossing? What's something? What shadow in myself? It's really powerful technique to, again, flip that mindset.
That's really interesting. I think that's like speaking about responsibility and action. What are the, we'll move on to create. So what would be the things that will help you create the potential in your opinion?
Well, if we're going to start off with like the idea of getting inspired, like you said, like listen to podcasts, find people, watch things, you know, even like we said, traveling, like shift your perspective, like get out there, do something different. If you want to then begin to create your reality with who your potential, you've got to make the different changes. And like I said, these changes take more energy and more effort. So I think the main important thing is this idea of nurturing and forgiving yourself through this. Like when you do question who you are, when you're that ego part of yourself crumbles and it gets all a bit scary, you have to nurture yourself. You have to think of yourself on a holistic approach of mind, body, energy, and emotion. Like, okay, my body, if I'm going to be making some big changes, how can I maybe bring in movement? How can I move this energy through my body? Like with your mind and the patterning and the neural pathways, it's like, okay, how can I break these habits? You know, even like you said with earlier about something like habit stacking and that kind of thing, like how can I bring in these new behavior patterns with the patterns I already have? And, you know, with your energy and emotion, the most powerful thing is this nervous system regulating training. Because when you are going through change, it is hard. Change is always difficult. And it takes more energy and more effort and discipline and consistency. Instead of getting overwhelmed by, you know, like the, okay, like I want to achieve the big thing, tell yourself, if I commit to something every day, the big thing will happen.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, you can't change all the world, but if I commit to one thing and excel and become really good at that, then it's gonna, like, greatness will come. Like, the only reason why things persist is because you don't give up. And that when you fail and it's messy, you don't just go, oh, I gave up, I tried. It's like, okay, that didn't work. Why? It's objectively looking at things. And that does take a lot of emotional detachment because we all have a lot of worth tied to failure, doing well, not doing well. So I think the most important thing is finding the practices, you know. If you look at it basically on kind of like, okay, exercise is always going to make you feel better. What are you, okay, let's actually break it down into consumption. Like, what are you consuming for your body, your mind, your energy, all of those things? Like, what are you putting in you? And then what's coming out? How about you? What do you think has helped you along the way?
I think I agree with everything you said, and those have been helpful, like, steps in the process. I'll just speak to the kind of the initial process where bringing the awareness to it, because you mentioned everything beyond that, like the actionable steps. Just that, like, the idea of, like, everything I realized was looking back to me as a kid. What did I enjoy when there was no judgment, when there was no ego, you know, just things that brought me joy. And, like, if you start questioning, for me, so when I realized that I wanted to question everything, I realized, okay, I need tools that will help me in the moment question it. That's where meditation came into play, because I was able to increase that pause between my reaction to, like, oh, like, that's just for girls. Like, when it comes to yoga, that's for women. Like, you're not supposed to do that. Just being able to bring that pause so that I can insert a question, which was just why, just one word, which is why, when I have those limiting beliefs. And that helped me question it and, like, go deeper into it in the moment, rather than thinking of it later and not giving me that space of catching it in the moment. And then the next was breathwork, which really helped me kind of let go of my fears. Like, I had the changes, I was doing the practices of, like, being consistent and, like, having a morning routine, changing all those stuff up, like, going 180 with, like, my decisions in life. But then I still was holding on to certain fears of, like, what if I fail? Like, what if this doesn't work? I'm putting so much effort into this. What if it doesn't work out? And, like, it helped me get let go of that fear and believe in the potential. Like, and that kind of everything I, like, those, the truths I had, all of those seemed more true when I let go of the fear, which was a really nice experience. And I would say, just like you mentioned, like, the whole listen to people who have got to the point you want to be at. Because for me, I wouldn't, if I wanted to start a business, I'm not going to go and ask my mother, because she has never started a business in her life. Like, I respect her opinion, but then she doesn't have that experience in life. Similarly, in schools, usually people who teach business haven't run a business in their life. They're just teaching the theory of it. So I would go find people who have done what I want to do or got to the point I want to get to, and not put them up on a pedestal and, like, you know, praise them, but see the qualities and the behaviors they do in their everyday life and maybe the truths or the beliefs that they have, and not just blindly believe it, but try it out. See if it resonates with me. See if it feels true to me. Because, like, I can go through 5 different businessmen and, like, or, like, branding specialists or production studios, and, like, maybe their methods don't suit me or what I want to accomplish, but there will be one that does. So try that. And it's just trying it. And maybe that actually doesn't work. And then you go through the list and try the other stuff. Maybe the one you thought that wouldn't work for you is the one that actually works, because you find that joy in it. Or you reframe it in a way where it was a limiting belief in itself that, oh, I won't like that method. It doesn't feel right to me. But it's just when you try it, it's a different method. You won't know till you try it. So it's finding people who have done what you want to do or accomplish what you have want to accomplish, and then just seeing what values and behaviors they have and trying to implement it to your life, and finding the tools that will help you do that. For me, it was, since I find reading, like, draining, it was the audiobooks, it was the podcast, it was, I follow, like, YouTube channels that kind of are doing things that, like you said, the envious or jealous, like, I'm like, shit, like, why can't I do that? Like, how are they doing that? Like, and then I'll try and somehow convince myself, oh, they have the money, oh, they're in America, oh, they have the resources. But those are all just beliefs that I have put, like, I can still try. And, like, what if I can accomplish that? So it's just reframing those, following the people, or, like, listening to people that have accomplished what you want to accomplish.
It's that great experimentation.
Yes.
That is life. Like, allow life to be a messy experimentation of joy, of failures, of all these different things, and really just go for it. Like you said, you're never, at the end of life, you're never gonna, it'd just be so horrible that I wish I did these things. And it's just, there's no need for that, because we do live in a day and age where we can be more curious, we can be more courageous and really just put ourselves out there and really just try. And yeah, breathwork was really, obviously, as someone who now facilitates it, breathwork for me was the real big game changer. And building that nervous system regulation and building that trust, that part of you that holds on to fear and worry and I can't do that, like breathwork really allows you to release that and gives you that kind of inner strength. And it really is like strength training, but for your nervous system. And it gives you that flexibility to be able to snap back, because I think of the nervous system like an elastic band, you know, you go from stress to relaxation, and how well it can move for the two things. Like, that's when we get burnout. Now you pulled it too far to stress, and then you snap back and you're stuck in like, oh, I really hit the floor now. But it's having that ability to be like, oh, I made a mistake that didn't work out, redirect, and really just flow with it all, that flow of life of in between. That breathwork really teaches you that kind of everything is just moving and changing and evolving, like the breath, like everything we see in nature. It's nothing is ever fixed.
Exactly. We need to evolve with it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's a good way to end the episode.
I think so too. I think so. And thank you everyone for joining us again this episode. And yeah, I look forward to seeing you next month. And as always, remember to breathe. This podcast is a Creator Cast production.